We'll continue this morning with our study on Let Us Rise Up and Build. Let us rise up and build. We're on lesson two, strengthening our hands. Strengthening our hands. On last week, we started this discussion and looked at when hands are weakened. Some things that individuals were trying to do in order that the work of rebuilding the temple would not be done. Are there any questions on that first part there, when hands are weakened? We stopped with Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. Nehemiah 6, verse 15 and 16. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. And when all of our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem. For they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. The work had been accomplished with the help of our God. So we get to the second part of this lesson. And let me say this before we say that, get there. When the work is according to God, who can stop it? And work is according to God, who can stop it? And yes, the answer is nobody. It's just as we look at and we read and we understand the statement with our Lord and our Savior in Matthew 16, 18. When he mentions, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No matter what the world does, the church will continue to stand. Yes, Brother Tanopoulos. It was finished, absolutely. Regardless of the time frame, when he says it's going to get done, it's going to get done. A lot of times we try to rush things, and if it's not on God's time, then we might as well, you know, not even consider doing it, but His time is not our time. Yes, sir.
We got to consider time was made for man, not God.
Right.
God's time is irrelevant.
That's right. And I believe you and I and someone else was talking about that in reference to the day and the 1,000 years. And so we have to remember all of those things. Yes. Right. And you think about that. When we leave our children at home alone sometimes, what do? We turn the television set on, you know, and even those mothers or fathers or whoever have abandoned their children, they still leave them right there in front of a television or something else instead of, you know, trying to instill in them the Word of God. And I'm not telling any parent to abandon their children with the Bible. But, you know, we have to know again, it's not the child's fault, it's the parents' fault for not teaching them the things that they need to know in order to be successful in the eyes of God. All right, so spiritual hand strengtheners. Spiritual hand strengtheners is where we are in section 2. Any other comments before we get into section 2? Go ahead. You have to remember those things. You have to remember those things. All right, so Nehemiah, here we are. The good hand of God upon us. The good hand of God upon us. And number one mentions hands were strengthening, or strengthened when the hand of God was good upon them. So let's go to Nehemiah chapter 2 and read verse 8 and verse 18. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8 and 18. Brother Mark, would you like to read those two verses for us, please? All right. And so, again, here, you know, you're hearing about the goodness of God, and these individuals, again, the word is spread unto them, and the statement is made, let us rise up and build. And with that, what did the people do? What did the people do? That last part there, what Brother Mark read, so they strengthened their hands for the good work. They strengthened their hands for the good work. How do we today, strengthen our hands for the work? How do we strengthen our hands for the work? Okay, by doing, by preparing. Anyone else? Studying. It is, isn't it? It is. And we'll get there. Well, it's a little bit different than what I asked it. I do believe, and when we get to it, we'll talk about that, Brother Tanopoulos. Okay, yes, Brother Butch.
Then we come together in prayer.
Okay. Okay, all right. I was waiting on that one right there. Okay, so let's continue. Let's continue. Number two, yes.
Going back to verse 8.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And, you know, to take to the area where they're going to do the building.
Yes, yes. You need to have strong hands to get out there and to cut that timber and to get it to where it needs to be. All right, so number two, show how the hand of God was upon Ezra in Ezra 7. Show how the hand of God was upon Ezra in Ezra 7. All right, who want to answer that one? All right, Brother Glenn, go ahead. Okay. All right, that's one way. Anyone else? Brother Butch? Okay.
According to Ezra 7.
All right. Anyone else? Brother Ollie? Okay. All right. And so it everything is falling in place for Ezra. Everything is falling in place. You know, what does the scripture say? If God is for us, who can be against us? So here it shows that God is with Ezra here. Everybody is doing what they need to be doing or what they desire to do in order to help him to accomplish this mission, okay? Okay, right. Yes. Directed according to the Lord, okay? And again, you go back and you read those things there. Ezra was to get everything that he needed in order to accomplish this goal. Yes, ma'am. All right. Brother Glenn?
All right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yes.
I got verse number 26.
All right.
Which was the encouragement.
Okay. And you said verse 26?
Verse 26. Whosoever will not observe the law of God and the law of the king, that judgment be executed.
Okay. Right, and I believe if you want to connect that verse with to show how the hand of God was upon Ezra, you would have to go back or go forward and look at what we know, how God is going to take vengeance on those that know him not and that don't want to do what he wants them to do, or those that are against you. He's the one that's going to repay them. And in this case here, for those that were against what God desired, he had the right to punish them. So we will take that and look at it. And again, examining all of these things that shows that the hand of God was upon Ezra. Go back again and look at what the king said and who he was saying these things in reference to. It was Ezra. All the things that he needed in order to accomplish this work. All right. Let me get Sister LaTanya, then come to you, and then come over to you.
Would you say that God strengthened Noah's
hands to build the ark? Oh, yes, most definitely. Yes, he gave him, because of the grace that Noah found in the eyes of God. He didn't, again, remember, Noah didn't do it all by himself. He had the ones that were there with him, his family, that were willing to work and to keep their minds dedicated on serving God as well. All right, Sister Linda.
I went off and left my notes at home. However, one of the things I do remember that I wrote mine. When you first read it, you think, okay, he prayed, he cried, he fasted, and God granted it. And then as I started looking at it, Nehemiah fasted and prayed for a long time. It wasn't a day or 2 days.
What? Okay.
And how did he set it out? I think people, I ask God to get me out of this situation, I'm going to serve. Well, okay, now what? I'm still in it. Oh, no, God has failed me. Now that our situations happen, Nehemiah was in a position where he was working at the king. He ate the king's food, drank. He had a, it was like being vice president. You know, he was up there, and what happened to us took me out.
And so who gave him that strength to do that? Again, it's God. It's God. When? How long did it take to build Rome? Okay, just say it took more than a day. Okay? All right. A lot of things we try to rush. You can't rush those things. It's again, Brother Pierce mentioned about time. Time is for us. Again, it's on God's time that we are able to do these things, you know, however long it takes to get them accomplished.
Yeah.
All right?
What? I was thinking about what you were saying there about, Sister Matan was saying about Noah, and you were saying about Noah. I mean, that's commitment. Mm-hmm. That's commitment to God.
And you need
because
to
of the simple fact, it took years. And you take years to build something, you are committed to God. And you are listening to God and no one else.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Brother Ollie.
I'm going back to the story about Abraham offering his son.
Mm-hmm.
The son asked him a question. He said, but where is the lamb? And Abraham responded that God will provide.
Yes.
See, if you have that faith that God's with you, you know that he's going to provide the way.
He is going to provide a way.
He on a spot. He had 12 spies.
Mm-hmm.
They seen them big old guys look like giants. No, we can't
right.
Do that.
Mm-hmm.
But Joseph, was
Caleb, Joseph, yes.
Said,
Joshua and Caleb.
Yes, we can.
Right.
Dad's going to be there.
Yes, right. we can do it. Did I not send 12? Where are the other 10 at, you know? So we have to take that, again, all those things into consideration. When we do what God says, we can be successful. All right? So the next verse there, Ezra 8:22. Sister Carita, would you like to read that? Yes. All right, and that's exactly what we were saying earlier. He'll take care of those that are against him, because that's in his power, and he will do that, which shows again, who is he for? Who is he for? He's for the ones that are doing right, and he's going to take care of the ones that do wrong. We don't, you know, a lot of times, again, we try to take matters into our own hands, and we just need to leave things alone and watch God work, okay? All right, the help of the brethren. The help of the brethren. In Ezra 1, verses 1 through 6. Ezra 1, 1 through 6. And 5, 2. Sister Georgia, would you like to read this morning?
Yes.
All right, let's go to Ezra 1, read 1 through 6.
Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing. How far am I to go?
To six.
To six, okay. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord of God of heaven had given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he had charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah, who is among you of all his people. His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts beside the free will offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites with all them whose spirit God had raised to go up to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem.
One more verse.
Okay. And all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, and with precious things, beside all that was willingly offered.
All right. And we read all that in the first lesson, did we not? You may not remember, but we did. The one of the key things that Sister Georgia read there was put it in writing. Put it in writing. What was the purpose of it being put in writing? What was the purpose of it being put in writing? Okay, well, so he wouldn't change his mind, but a little bit deeper than that. Sister Linda Cook Bryant, and I'm coming up and then coming over. So there'll be a record of it. Okay, read before all the people.
When the king says something, they know it was from him. He's going to put his seal
on it. All right. Know it's from the king. He has his seal on it. And you can go to, I believe it is chapter 6, where it talks about searching for certain things. And here he says, verse 6, verse 2, and in Ecbatana, the citadel that is in the province of Medea, a scroll was found on which this was written, a record, okay? And then it talks about in the first year of Cyrus the king. And so it's important a lot of times where we say, where's that document at? Where's that document? I want to know what the document says. You know, a lot of people say, if I don't have it in writing, I'm not going to believe it. I want to see it. And it's found. They know what they're supposed to do, how they're supposed to do it. And so those things are here. So that we may see them. Chapter 5, verse 2. Chapter 5, verse 2. But Butch, you want to read that for us?
Then rose up Zebedeel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Zadok, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were all the prophets of God, helping them.
All right. You know, a lot of times we try to do things on our own, don't we? Brother Harper, I remember the first year I was here, he would tell me from time to time the story of, and some of you have heard it as well, of the woman that had ran off the ravine, off into the ravine, and these guys stand up on top of the bridge looking down and saying, "Can I help you?" And her reply was, "You can't help me from up there." Okay, we need help from time to time. That man is trying to carry a load, and someone say, "Do you need any help?" And he says, "No," and he's steady dropping everything. There's nothing that we have to do alone, except for stand before the judgment throne. That's it. Everything else in this life, we can have some help to understand and to be able to obey the gospel. We had to have someone to help us. All right. We talk about the individuals that are involved in our salvation, the individuals, not the things, but the individuals. We have God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Spirit. We have someone else, and then we have self. All right? So we need help. So let's not deny individuals to help us. And that is what we find right here, even with the prophets. He said they were there supporting them. The prophets were, the prophets of God, not the false prophets, but the prophets of God. They were there to support. And again, we need all the help that we can in order to get from point A to point B. All right? And so we get to the next, this part here where we're talking about the help of the brethren. The Old Testament teaches help of one's brother. In the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verses 1 through 4. Deuteronomy, chapter 22, verses 1 through 4. Sister Yvette, if you would, read that when we get it, please. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verses 1 through 4. Verse 4. The last part. Ah. Yes, yes, yes. There was a man. That's what they say. There was a man sitting in the back of the building one Sunday or 1 week when we were having lectures. And the individual said, "Hey, look, I found this Bible right here, and it belongs to," and he mentioned the brother's name that it belonged to, and he said, "I'm going to keep it." You know who it belongs to. Why not give it back to him? You know, it made no sense to me. And I still to this day don't know if he returned that Bible to that individual or not. But that's the wrong idea. You know, we see people, we see animals, you know, "Hey, that's such and such a dog. What is it doing way down here?" Now, I'm first one to tell you now, if it's somebody's dog, the only thing I can do is pick up the phone and call you and tell you, "Hey, Brother Francis, your dog is running loose down here. I'm not going to try to put it in my car and bring it to you, okay, nor take it to my house, into my house," because a lot of times another man's pet is not your friend, all right? And so we have to keep those things in mind. But we call that individual, and we keep our eyes on it until they get there sometime. Or you see someone's child, you know, why is that child way down here? That child should not be here. And now that child, a lot of times you can call that child and tell them to come over, and you still have to be careful with that as well, because you may get something that you're not, you know, not expecting from that child. You know, but you call the parent and you let them know your child is here. What Sister Yvette read right there, when you see something that belongs to somebody else, he says, you know, take it back to them. And Brother Thanopoulos mentioned that, and that's what they say, losers, weepers, finders, keepers. A lot of people, that's exactly what they feel. I did, you know, it was yours. It's mine now. I found it. You know, or you ask, what do you have to give me in for finding your thing? And a lot of times people will take things from you and then tell you that they found them. No, we have to be careful with those type of things. And so we look here at what is being taught, and it is still a good principle for today as well. Yes, ma'am. Right. True. There you go. Well, I'm. That's an honest man right there. All right. That's an honest man, and good thing somebody wouldn't walk behind you that you thought was your friend, and they, you know, picked it up. So, good deal, Brother Mark. All right. Thank you, Sister Kareem, for sharing that, because he never would have told us, okay? We got another subject for you later then, okay? Just for you. All right. Any other comments or questions? Yes.
That's encouraging.
Yes.
Right. But they was trying to, and I couldn't make my security cameras work. I forgot how to, anyway, when
right.
I gave the police my password, got it in, we backed it up. You see me wobbling that out, wobbly going out. People will laugh at you all the time.
That's right, they will.
And put it in right.
Yes, absolutely. All right, let's read a couple more verses here before we have to end class this morning. Sister Teresa. Sister LaTanya, if you would go ahead and get 2 Chronicles 26:15. All right. No, that's good. Just that verse right there. Just 23, okay? So here he says, you know, curse Meroz because they did not help, you know, for the cause of the Lord. They didn't come to the aid. And a lot of times we have to understand that. When people do not come and do what they need to do, they will have to pay the price for that, the penalty for that. All right? 2 Chronicles 26:15. Sister LaTanya? You don't have it? Okay, someone else read it. 2 Chronicles 26:15. Sister Linda Cook Bryant, read that for us. All right. So you're looking at help given, help not given. What's the penalty for not helping? How is God going to take care of those individuals that are helping? How is he going to take care of those individuals that are not helping? All right. Again, we will continue on next Sunday looking at help from the brethren, coming into some New Testament examples of help. And number three, Brother Thanopoulos mentioned that that's one of our questions. Well, the question is this: make a list of ways you can be of help to your brethren. The way I asked the question was reference to yourself, okay? But some included others in that answer as well. But make a list of ways you can be of help to your brethren. And there's a whole lot of different ways, all right? The list can go on and on and on and on. And so let's continue to study. Let's continue to answer the questions here. And we will pick up with section 2, subsection B, and number 2 on next Lord's Day. So thank you very much for your time.